Thanks for listening to the podcast from Faith Radio Mornings.
Start your day connecting faith to life with Faith Radio Mornings. Let it
rise. Hello, everyone. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Good morning. How are you? Well, good. Me too. Bill Arnold here. I'm looking at Psalm, 62? It says, one thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. So God is strong and loving. Remember, that is his character. Regardless of how you feel, sometimes how you feel is just how you feel. It's not who God is. So always kind of lean into the understanding of the character of God. And then you will always have confidence that you are his, you belong to him, and you are loved, and that he is strong. You know, today is Ascension, the old Ascension Thursday, and we find this to be a remarkable place in the Bible, and we call it the Ascension of Christ into heaven. And now, it's interesting that all major religious denominations across the board believe that Jesus, at the end of his earthly life, he literally and bodily ascended into heaven. So, and that was really good news because the disciples came back and they were all excited. And it's interesting, when somebody goes somewhere or leaves you, usually you're sad. You're thinking, oh, they're going, or I won't see him again, or I don't know how long else before I see him again. But the disciples were all excited. And God was saying, Jesus was saying that when I leave, I will then send you the Holy Spirit. So then the Holy Spirit is there with them, leading and guiding as he is with you today, if you are a believer. So we're going to talk to Dr. Mark Muska about this day, this holy day. We don't talk about it very much. We don't give it a lot of importance, maybe because we don't understand it really well. So we're going to bring him in and we're going to get his perspective on it. And then we've got Ann Bradley from the Faith Works and Economics. We're going to talk to her. And, you know, she, in her last time she was on the show, she talked about, you know, women trying to do it all. And you don't have to do it all. But today she's at her son's graduation or something this morning, and she's going to be calling us on her cell phone. So the woman who says you can't do it all is always doing it all.
She's an inspiration, isn't she?
She is. She is an amazing woman. And I always find her so fascinating. And she's going to be coming up in the second part of the hour. But we'll take a little break, and we come back, hopefully, Dr. Mark Muska. Be back in a minute.
Dr. Gary Chapman with a Love Language Minute.
We don't ever do anything together anymore. He's always gone. Our communication is almost non-existent. That was her perspective. But he had a different story. He said, if we could get our sex life straightened out, everything else would be fine. What they didn't realize is that they were both asking for the same thing, intimacy. For him, intimacy meant sex. For her, it meant quality time. With a little counseling and a change of attitude, this couple found what they were looking for. In short, they discovered how to speak each other's love language. What about you? If you long for more intimacy, wouldn't it be worth reading a book or talking with a counselor?
Dr. Gary Chapman is the author of The Five Love Languages. For more, visit 5lovelanguages.com.
There's more to life than this. Welcome to Reaching Your World. This is Luis Palau. I once met a businessman named Ben who seemed to have it all. He had a fancy New York City apartment, a beautiful wife and children, and a lot of financial security. One day, however, Ben's colleague passed away unexpectedly, and this caused Ben to consider some important questions. He had never been religious, but Ben began to wonder if this is all there is or if there is life after death. As followers of Christ, we know that there is indeed life after death for everyone who has a relationship with Jesus and who has received him as their Savior. What Ben came to realize was that none of his earthly possessions could help him in the grand scheme of things. No amount of money or earthly status can get a person into heaven. Ultimately, Ben came to know and receive Jesus Christ into his heart. But there are still many people living like Ben today. People are consumed with earthly status and security, but these things mean nothing when you keep eternity in mind. The Apostle Paul said it best in Philippians 3:8, "Everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." There is more to life than titles or status. Jesus is the one we need. This is Luis Palau.
If you'd like to know more about how God wants you to live, you'll enjoy reading Luis Palau's booklet, Dream Great Dreams. To request a free copy of the Dream Great Dreams booklet, call 1-800-ASK-LUIS and mention this offer. The number again, 1-800-ASK-LUIS. Thanks for listening today. Please tune in next time for more Reaching Your World with Luis Palau.
We're connecting faith and life together.
I was just scanning the radio, and Pastor Colin was on, and I heard his voice start speaking about Jesus, and I stopped at that station, and ever since then, it's been about 9 months. It's literally like the only station I listen to. Now, thank you for the station and all the word that you spread to us, you know?
It's the intersection of faith and life. Faith Radio.
Hi, I'm Nancy DeMoss Walkenluth. Our passion here at Revive Our Hearts is to see women become wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. And we're thankful to partner with Faith Radio because they too share this vision to see God's Word applied in the lives of listeners to help connect faith to life every day. Would you become a part of this important mission? Call 877-933-2484 or give a gift online at myfaithradio.com.
Good morning. It's 12 minutes after the hour. It's such a beautiful day out there. My gosh, is it nice. And it's across the whole listenership that we've got like near perfect weather, and we could not be happier. I know I am looking forward to the day, and we are hoping that we're going to get a word from our friend, Dr. Mark Muska, who is going to be with us today, but we haven't seen him yet. So we were going to talk about Pentecost, which is coming up on Sunday. Is that right, Rebecca?
That is true.
And you come from a different denomination than I have, so we have different traditions about it, so we'll chat about that.
It'll be really fun.
Oh, you think it'll be fun?
Well, I live in perpetual hope.
Oh, I do too. I do too. But it was interesting, on Ascension Thursday, there was a sequence of events. It pretty much looked like this. The disciples and Christ, they gather in the vicinity of Bethany, okay? And he commissions them to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Well, those are marching orders. Very impressive, aren't they?
Yeah, especially since you don't know exactly where that will take you.
Exactly. And then he kind of lifts up his hands to bless them. And then as he blesses them, he starts to rise from the earth. And the disciples watch him as he leaves. And, a cloud envelops him and takes him from earth to heaven. And the disciples look, as any disciple would, intently up at the sky. It's the beam me up Scotty moment of all time, is it not?
Something you've never seen before.
You have never, ever seen it before. And they returned to Jerusalem, where they met with the other disciples in the upper room. I think two angels appeared to them at that point as well. Is that your recollection? I was kind of hoping Mark could weigh in on this, but I'm trying to recall all this. But the disciples then worshiped the Lord.
Indeed. We got scripture. We got scripture confirmation. Yes, indeed. In Acts chapter 1, actually, which is where a lot of this comes from. The Gospels do mention this, but this detailed, very detailed account is how Luke starts off the book of Acts. So Acts chapter 1 gives us a lot of insight into this moment in history. And so you're looking at Acts 1, verse 9. When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Mm. This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven.
So Jesus being fully God and fully man at the time would be the first time a man would enter into heaven in a glorified body.
As far as we know.
As far as we know. This is why, you know, we are bummed that Mark isn't here. Because, Mark, wherever you are, I hope you're okay. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. If you come from a tradition where this was, Pentecost was something extra special to you, and it was something you celebrated, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 1-877-933-2484. Or email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, just to hear about what your what it means to you. Because it's kind of one of those things that gets a little bit swept under the rug. We'll be back in just a minute. It is 18 minutes after the hour. Good morning. Bill Arnold here with you. We're having an interesting conversation about the Ascension and then, of course, Pentecost Sunday coming up. And when we look at the glorified Christ now in heaven, the Bible talks quite a bit about this, which is something that is a good reminder always. We find out, of course, now he sits at the right hand of the majesty on high in Hebrews 1:3. So we've got him at the right hand of the Father. Very important position.
Indeed. It's one he has earned.
Yes, yes. I'm being joined right now by Rebecca Maxwell, of course, and Paul Perreault. And he's been elevated far above all earthly rule and authority. And that says that in Ephesians 1, verse 20 and 21.
And then he sends the Spirit to us, and he rules from there. He rules through us through his Spirit. Amazing kind of configuration, what God chose to do.
Yes. He has been given a name that is above every name, Philippians 2, 9 through 11. He has been declared greater than all the angels. I always thought that was a given that he was always greater than all the angels, but he's declared greater than all the angels. He's become the captain of our salvation, Hebrews 2:10. I love that expression, captain of our salvation.
I kind of look at it this way. It's more of declaring to everybody, see, he is great.
Right.
Because look at what he did.
Right.
So
he entered heaven as our forerunner in Hebrews 6:19.
And that's one of the aspects of this that gives me the greatest hope and joy, is that he's paved the way. This whole time, he is the firstborn from among the dead. Mm-hmm. He is the proof in itself of the resurrection. And that's where we have our hope. But the Holy Spirit and the descension, we're talking about the ascension of Christ, and then the Holy Spirit came down to us as that security, which is also what the Bible talks about. And that's what happened at Pentecost. I kind of wonder, so in historically, we would be in almost in that mid time, not quite to Pentecost, but in that time between Christ's ascension mm-hmm. and the a proclamation of the Holy Spirit and the official beginning
right,
of the church
right.
in drama and power.
Right.
So I always wondered how the disciples felt in that middle time where they're waiting. It's just a season of waiting, because that's exactly what Christ said. He's like, you go back and you wait until mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit comes on you, and I will send it and send him in power. And that's what they're waiting for. So right now they'd be waiting.
Well, that's the ultimate experience of being in a dark hallway, you know, where when one door has closed and the other door hasn't opened yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of how people feel in life. It's like maybe one opportunity is closed or one relationship is ended. And you think, now what? And you're in that dark hallway when you feel most panicked.
And all you have to trust is the promise of what's to come. You don't know exactly what it'll look like, but you can trust the person who made the promise. And that's what the disciples were kind of, I think, that's the moment in which we'd find them if we could go back 2,000 years from today.
Mm-hmm. And if I go back to Psalm 62, which I mentioned at the top of the hour, in verse 11, it says, one thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong and that you, O Lord, are loving. So when you're in that moment, that time of not sure what's going to be next or what's going to happen, you can always be confident that God is strong and that he is loving. So that's a good reminder to all of us, because we're oftentimes in that hallway of despair, depression, uncertainty, and we're wondering what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary because that everybody says, oh, the next door is going to open for you any one of these days. And that's supposed to be real comforting. And it is, but what happens when the door isn't open?
Right. Go ahead, Paul, please.
No, go ahead. Ladies first.
I was just going to say, sometimes we forget that our calling can come in the middle of a waiting season. And a little tidbit is that one of the 12 apostles was chosen during this time between Christ's ascension and Pentecost. Matthias was given the spot after Judas left this world. Mm. They chose a replacement, essentially, someone to take his place in a leadership position.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of the other disciples who was essentially promoted in the middle of this kind of chaos, waiting, uncertainty, not sure exactly what's going to happen. But he was called in to take a leadership position in the middle of the unknown. So he's probably waiting, you know, more tentatively than everybody else. Like, okay, is this what's going to happen? And how will this look in the next little while? Everything in their lives is uncertain, but they're waiting on the promise, and that promise is fulfilled in a glorious way. They are clothed in power at Pentecost.
Mm-hmm. So the ascension really means Jesus has received what he deserved, which is he's a victorious conqueror, and he reigns in heaven and sits at the Father's right hand, and his work is done. The battle is over. Yet that is not it's not how it feels in this world today, does it?
No, it doesn't. We feel like we're still in the midst of the battle. We're still fighting against overwhelming odds, and yet in the midst of that, I mean, the fact that at Pentecost the Spirit came, we are no longer alone. We are empowered. It's that seal too. That's one of the things that the Scripture talks about. When the Spirit was given to us, that was a seal of a promise. Hey, you're mm-hmm. mine. You're mine. You're my bride, and I am coming back.
Yes, and welcome to the Morning Show Think Tank. Here we are. We're talking about this Great Commission moment when the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them. When they saw him, and I love this because the verse says, they worshiped him, and the next three words have rattled me for a long, long time, but some doubted.
Mm.
There were some witnesses that
doubted.
It's like, okay, what else do you need? Resurrected
Hello?
Person.
He's there. Hello.
Yeah.
But how could it be? I mean, they were trusting their past experience rather than the present hope.
I get it. See, there's the wisdom, right?
There you go. Yeah. Okay.
I've had a lot of coffee this morning.
But it's the
coffee talking.
It is. They had never seen anyone really raised from the dead, and here he is. And you still, even with the evidence before you, there are still people that have doubted. So I guess in our circle, the people that we love, the people we're reaching out to, the people that are doubting themselves, we need to pray that God would lift that veil of doubt so that mm-hmm. our work, our effort, effort to try to reach them with the gospel can be heard.
Reminds me of that conversation with J. Warner Wallace. He talks about that in his new book, Forensic Faith, and you guys were discussing that really when we're sharing our faith and it doesn't seem like we're making the case well enough, we're not getting through, really it's God who's doing the work to change that person's heart from a heart of stone into a heart of flesh, as the Bible talks about. And so he's going before us because we know, I mean, like we're talking about with the resurrection from the dead, he's an expert and he specializes in doing things that have never been done before.
Mm-hmm. So that's it's interesting as we go about our day and to know that if you are in that hallway of darkness and maybe one door has closed and another one has not yet opened, God is still going to be strong and God is going to be loving and you are in a good place, even though you don't think you are. I think it's a good reminder.
Yeah, and he's got something even better than you could imagine waiting ahead.
Yeah, and like Matthias, who gets promoted in the midst of all that, today might be your day that you finally get that opportunity that you've been waiting for. And give God the glory because he deserves it. We'll take a short break when we come back. Ann Bradley is up next. Good morning. It's 1:30. We're going to take a little break for news. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ann Bradley. She's with the Institute for Faith, Work, and Economics. We need to be seeking work and life balance. We need to be reminded that we can burn out easy. We have to put Christ in the center of our life and make that number one and then make sure everything else fits around that. We're going to hear from her in just a minute. Thanks for being with us this morning. We love having you. 25 minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here. When it seems like God is not answering our prayers, Pastor Peter Haas says we should ask him to reveal what he wants to teach us in the season of waiting.
A lot of times we want God just to bless us, but we don't understand that, you know, he is calling us to live on his terms. And one of the things that I'm always trying to do whenever I'm encountering God is, God, is there anything that you want to tweak inside of me? Not that I'm trying to earn his love, but I just want to make sure that I'm living in sync with God. And I think that really, if we're consciously ignoring God in some area of our lives, we probably do have reason to feel alone because we're purposefully pushing out God in some area. And I think some people overly worry about that, and they keep thinking, you know, gosh, maybe I should be working harder. And so the best way to even discern that is, you know, when God speaks and wants us to modify certain areas of our lives, he's always very clear, always very specific, which is very, very different than a hazy feeling like God doesn't love you. That's not God at all, okay? That's the devil just whispering in your ear. But if there is some area where you do need to tweak, then give that area over to God and ask him for his power. And then don't be afraid that he's not for you, because he loves you. He loves you so much.
If you want to hear that full interview, go to myfaithradio.com. Truth Success will take you to the interview with Pastor Peter Haas. So 72% of women say they're overwhelmed by stress. That's a recent statistic. And my next guest says that she is suspicious of the remaining 28%. We will find out more from Dr. Ann Bradley in just a minute.
According to a recent study, nearly 30% of kids in middle and high school are bullied, but only a fraction will ever report it. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I've talked to students who were bullied for being adopted, for struggling in school, even for having a mom or dad pass away. There's truly no wound too deep for a bully to avoid. They spot the pain and they go right for the target. Yet most kids rarely report getting bullied. Sometimes they're too ashamed to admit it, or they're afraid of looking weak, and other times they fear retribution or ridicule. We might never suspect what's going on unless we ask. Do you find your son or daughter climbing up, going into isolation? Ask the question. It's our role to protect our teen.
Find more parenting help from Mark Gregston when you go online to parentingtodaysteens.org.
Good morning. It's 20 minutes until the top of the hour. If you're feeling overwhelmed by stress, join the club. Club is a big one. And a recent statistic, which is not an easy word to say, at 20 to the hour, 72% of women say they're overwhelmed by stress. My guest on the studio line, Dr. Ann Bradley, says, I am suspicious for those remaining 28. The last time she was on, she wrote an open letter to millennial women saying you can't do it all. Yet, Ann, I think you do it all.
Far from it, and not well when I try, that's for sure.
But I get it, but you do it all, I think.
Well, you know, I mean, I think the modern world gives us a lot of luxuries, but it also puts a lot of demands on us. So part of doing it all is I you know, liken it to being a juggler. And sometimes the balls drop on the floor, and that's okay, we're human. What I worry more about is the pressure that we feel, not just women. I think not just women, men feel this too, but I can speak from a woman's perspective, of course, is that we feel the pressure of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is actually very unbiblical. It's arrogant, and I don't think we come to it from maybe that explicit point of view that I can be perfect. But I think the culture puts a lot of pressures on us to never let the balls drop. You know, you have to be kind of have a career and raise children and be the perfect wife and be doing volunteer work in your community and your church. And we are finite human beings and we need Jesus and we can't be perfect. And so I think part of it is just recognizing that we're never going to get perfect. And when we realize that, it becomes very freeing. I think that's when the stress goes down.
Mm-hmm. We can close in prayer.
That's right. And we can start in prayer, right?
Yes, we can start
and
close
in prayer.
And I always want to say, let's get the word perfect really out of our dictionary. Let's let's leave it in the dictionary when we refer to Jesus. But for the most part, why do we use that in conversation? Like, well, I'm not perfect. Isn't that just crazy?
It is crazy, and it's funny that it should be rhetorical when we say, I'm not perfect. But I think we mean it. I think we, you know, say, oh, gosh, well, I fell short. I'm not perfect. Part of it, I think, in our culture, too, our culture has become one of hyperbole, where we exaggerate everything. And so maybe this is just part of the way we talk. I think it's something deeper than that. It's about the expectations that we put on ourselves. And you're very right to say, take it out of our vocabulary. I tell my students this in the classroom. We're talking about economics and policies about how to make the world better. The first thing we have to talk about is we have to take perfect off the table. Mm-hmm. No policy is going to make the world perfect. And none of our own actions in our own lives are going to perfect our lives or our spouse's lives or our children's lives. So, mm-hmm. I think it's reorienting our mindset about this.
Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a personal question, but as far as the way you manage stress and your husband, how are you different in that area?
Oh, that's a great question. I am a stressor, mm-hmm. and he is not as much.
Yeah.
So I think the key to success for us is we need each other. And that's a good thing. You know, I mean, sometimes I need him to ratchet it up and he needs me to ratchet it down. And so I think we complement each other in that way, but I really have to go to him, sometimes intentionally and say, you know, how concerned should I be about X, whatever the problem is, because mm-hmm. I tend to let my mind spin and make things maybe bigger than they are. And really, again, that's me, you know, not being Christ-centered, because the scripture tells us not to worry about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we're going to be able to daily conquer our worries is if we give all the worries to God. And I think that takes daily, you know, focus and commitment. I mean, I will be the first to admit you. That's why I said in the piece I wrote, you know, 72%, I guess, is, you know, women say they're overwhelmed with stress. And I say, well, I'm suspicious about the other 28, because mm-hmm. it just seems like life in the modern age, we are always feeling overwhelmed with stress, and that's not how God wants us to live.
And Rebecca, our producer here, was nodding her head yes about, and I asked her, and she said, well, I just think stress is just a big part of life. It's just what I sort of come to expect, because mm-hmm. life is stressful. And we talk about another word, which I find confusing, is the word balance. Because mm-hmm. We talk about balance, but that doesn't mean anything to anybody, as far as I can tell. I mean, if I was really balanced, I don't know if I could do my life the way I do it. That's a very dumb thing I just said.
No, I fully agree with it. And I think, you know, think of balance. You think of kind of those justice scales, right, where you have a scale hanging on the left and a scale hanging on the right, and you have to get it just perfect.
Right.
And if it's just perfect, there's literally no movement. You've achieved
good point.
What you want to achieve.
Yes.
In economics, we would call that equilibrium, right?
Uh-huh.
Supply
yep.
perfectly meets demand. And we don't live in that universe. We're always in motion. We're always changing. Our situations are always changing. And so I think balance, again, implies, okay, I have balance now, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work like that. So we need a different way to think about this, that it's always about making trade-offs. It's always about trying to be, you know, focused on Jesus and the big picture and what he wants us to do in our lives, and knowing we're going to make a lot of mistakes in the process. And again, I think, to me, this is very liberating when you can say, okay, it's not really about getting those scales to be equal. It's about God's going to throw new stuff at me, and I'm going to have to figure new things out all the time, but there's a growth process and a beauty in the messy. I think if we realize that there's beauty in the messy and there's joy in the messy,
then
we'll embrace the messy more.
I love
that.
So, Anne, maybe you could speak to how we need to learn how to adapt to change.
I wish if I could figure that out, Bill, I would probably make a lot more money than I do.
Cover
right
a Time magazine.
Because I could bottle that up and sell it.
Yes, you could.
I think this is really hard to know how to do it. But I think the first thing is not to panic.
Mm.
You know, when new things come our way, when new problems come our way, you know, kids get sick, we get sick. Sometimes the sicknesses are minor. Sometimes they're major. You know, you have to move. You lose a job. I mean, this is life. And so we're going to have to try to figure out how to navigate that. But I would say, don't panic is the first lesson. The second lesson is we have to focus on God and ask him. You know, I was listening to the interlude while I was waiting to come on, and somebody was saying, you know, we have to go to God and say, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
Not, God, I want to do this. What do you want me to do in this new situation? Because I think, again, we put upon ourselves this idea that we have to know beforehand, mm-hmm. and we don't.
Yeah. And we have
those are maybe some little lessons.
Yeah, because we all have limited resources with, you know, time and energy. That's one thing we have to be very careful of. And when we come back in, I want to ask you more about being intentional with how we spend our time and then not getting overwhelmed with stress. And then I want to ask you another difference question between men and women. So that's the cliffhanger. I'll be back in just a minute. It's 15 minutes until the top of the hour. It is almost 12 minutes until the top of the hour. We need to learn how to deal with our stress. One way we might be able to do it is today is National Go Barefoot Day. Of course, tomorrow is National Stub Toe Day. So maybe, I don't know if that's going to work or not. I have Dr. Ann Bradley on the line. We are talking about stress and also trying to figure out how we can balance life. And, of course, balance is a weird word. But I have a question for you, Ann, is the way men and women process stress differently. I do see that women in ways are almost like chess players. They know their next 14 moves. And when something comes into that agenda that they have, it's disruptive, where I think men are, I think they're much more simple-minded. They're like, they play checkers, like, okay, what's next? And I think and different stress levels comes to different players, but I do see differences. And maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm making all this up.
Well, you know, again, I'm not a psychologist, but I don't think you're wrong. In you know, men and women are different, and women think differently than men. And so, I think the beauty of marriage is that it brings us together, our differences together, and we complement one another. And so that's a great thing. But, you know, there's a lot of people who are unmarried, and God calls them to be unmarried, so I don't think that their hope is lost. I'm just saying that in that relationship, you have somebody else to counterbalance. But if you're not in that type of relationship, then how do you manage this? I think what you just said is knowing how you behave helps you understand how to change perhaps some behavior that's not productive. So if you're worrying about 10 things down the road, you know, maybe you're not as focused on what's happening right now. And I think I can see that in my own life where I'm planning for next week and next month and next year. And I'm not in the moment as much. And so that, you're right, different players feel different types of stress. But I think maybe it causes us to perhaps not be as focused on the present because we're worried, you know, 10 moves down the road.
Mm-hmm. And then when we look at the way stress contributes into our life, how much of it is real? How much of it is imaginary? Things that we pile upon ourselves because of outside influences like comparing ourselves on Facebook to others, mm-hmm. Comparing ourselves to what other families are doing or other careers people have. And all of a sudden we have all this stress, which produces a spirit of ingratitude. And we think that we are not living the way we want to live. And that causes stress too.
Yeah, I think that this is right. I think a lot of the stress, I'll just speak for myself because that's all I can do. But a lot of the stress that I feel is induced by things that aren't worthy of the stress.
Well said, Ann.
Right?
Oh my gosh, bingo.
We should make bumper stickers out of all this.
Yes,
stuff.
Yes.
But it's, you know, comparing yourself and worrying about what other people think of you and worrying about how you measure up and all of this stuff is not worthy of your energy, which could be dedicated to much more productive ventures. And so I think we really need to look at it from that perspective and say, why am I wasting my energy on this thing that I have created in my mind that is not very real? You know, I mean, and that's, I'm not saying that we don't face real problems. We live in a fallen world and we're fallen people. So there's things that deserve our prayer. But, you know, how my Facebook posts are being received is certainly not where I should be spending a lot of my time worrying.
Mm-hmm. But as we try to have balance in our life, and I think that's a goal that we, you know, people talk about balance. They want to have their job. They want to spend time with their family. They want to spend time with their friends. They want to volunteer. They want to be active in their church. All this is making people's heads spin as I'm saying this right now, because it does remind them that life is so busy. So if balance is not the goal, maybe remind our listeners what we should be looking towards.
Well, I kind of read a Barna report, and they talked about coherence instead of balance. And I think there's something that sounds right about that to me, which balance, again, seems so precise. Everything mm-hmm. has to perfectly match out, whereas coherence, there's a path. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do in all these areas. You know, God calls us to many different things, to the family, to the community, to the church, to Him. Mm-hmm. And so we have to spread ourselves over those calls. But there's, if we're thinking about it that way, then there's going to be more coherence. Why? Because I'm going to dedicate my gifts that make me, you know, good at my job. Those gifts also are probably going to, you know, what I want to focus on in my volunteer work. And, you know, I mean, then you can kind of see, okay, there's a messy path, but it's okay that it's messy, and I'm on it because God has asked me to be on it, and I'm trusting Him because He's sovereign. That's very different than it has to be precisely balanced, and anytime anything from the outside shocks that, I'm a mess, mm-hmm. and I'm falling apart. You know, we don't want to live in that world. I think we are in that world for most of us, but
yeah.
I think we need to get on the coherence path rather than the balance mm-hmm. path.
And then when we're trying to hear God and listen to God through His Word, and we're reading about don't worry about anything, and we all kind of do a little bit of an eye roll when we read that because we want to believe it completely, yet we don't know exactly how to apply it to our lives, how can we take God's Word and get it into our hearts and minds that we can actually live it out?
Wow. Well, I mean, that's a hard thing. And I think it's not, again, it's not something you read a book about and conquer it tomorrow and you're good.
Oops, I think we're losing you a little bit there. There we go. We're back.
Oh, sorry.
That's
We're not checking a box. So this is a lifelong process. But, you know, I think about the verse in Jeremiah, I think 29:11, you know, I know the plans I have for you, plans for hope and for a future. And those are very powerful words. So I think we need to find some of those pieces of scripture and commit them to memory. And remember that even in the worst circumstances, when terrible things happen, God wants us to have hope and a future. And the future is in Him. Now, we're here on earth for a reason. It's not just, you know, we're not just wasting time to get to heaven. I do believe that our work here matters and is significant.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do have to keep in mind is the pressures of the world are going to fall away. And there's going to be a time where we're reunited with Christ, and there will be no worry. So all of this toil here is for a bigger purpose. So I think it's keeping that big picture in mind
mm-hmm.
and committing ourselves to Scripture.
I love it. And
guide us along the way.
I always love your perspective, and I always appreciate when you come on the show. I always look forward to it. So thank you so much, and have a wonderful week.
You too. Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. It's 4 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll be right back. I'm just looking at this note here, Rebecca. It says, the morning team is really good today. Oh, wait a minute. That looks like my handwriting.
I got really excited.
I was too for a second. I go, wait, I wrote that.
Really crestfallen all at once. So
yeah.
Many emotions.
Yes. But if you would like us to have other topics that you'd like for us to talk about, like today, we had so much fun talking about a number of things. And if there's a subject that you would like us to cover, why don't you email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, and I will find the right guest to talk about the subject you're interested in. Because this show is for you. You and you alone.
Our listeners have the greatest ideas.
Oh, they do. The best ideas.
It's so cool.
Yes. And so we're very interested in hearing what you want to hear more of. And we've got access to some really cool guests. You can even suggest who we might talk to. And that would even make our job even easier. So I want to kind of walk out the show today with a passage I've been quoting all morning. This comes from Psalm Chapter 62 in verse 11, one thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong and that you, O Lord, are loving. So always remember his character. He is strong. He is loving. He loves you. So do we. All right. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this Faith Radio Mornings podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Faith Radio Mornings, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or on your podcast player. And thanks for sharing the audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Faith Radio Mornings.